Are you the person everyone turns to? Because you're the peacemaker, the caregiver, the one who always says yes. But deep down, you're running on empty? In this honest and hope-filled conversation, my guest co-host, Danielle Grossi, explores the heart of a helper and helps us understand why those of us who love to serve often struggle to receive. She shares why it's so difficult to admit when we need help, how we can let others pour back into us, and what happens when we finally give ourselves permission to heal. If helping others has ever felt like both your greatest joy and your heaviest burden, this episode is for you. Join us for a discussion that's full of grace, wisdom, and real-life encouragement, and that offers a new perspective on what it truly means to serve well as an HSP without sacrificing your own well-being. Welcome to Grit and Grace, the podcast for highly sensitive Christian women. I'm your host, Sherry Gregory. Are you tired of the overthinking, overwhelm, and exhaustion that come with being a highly sensitive person? Are you ready to stop worrying that there's something wrong with you and start understanding and nurturing yourself as an HSP? Together, we'll build resilience, practice self-compassion, set healthy boundaries, unlock your creativity, and learn to embrace, not fight, your God-given sensitivity. Let's dig in. Hey, friend, I am so glad you're here with me today. You know, I was thinking back a few years to when I was trying to set a Zoom appointment to meet with a potential coaching client. But when I sent her a list of my usual times, she apologetically let me know that they wouldn't work for her because she was in Scotland. Well, I suggested that we wait until she got home, but then she explained that for more than 40 years, her family's business has involved taking people on tours of Scotland. She spends many weeks each year guiding visitors through, are you ready for this? Castles in Scotland. Now, I know I need to stop saying Scotland, but when I was 17, I traveled with my parents to Scotland. And to this day, the Isle of Skye is one of my all-time favorite memories. But enough about my apparent obsession with Scotland. When Danielle Grossi and I coordinated our schedules and got face-to-face, we fell into an animated conversation like long-lost sisters being reunited. And it's been that way ever since. I feel like everything I know about being a helper who is also an HSP and how to do that with intentionality, I've learned from Danielle, and I'm so excited to introduce you to her today. In a world where helpers often give until they have nothing left, Danielle Grossi offers a different way forward, filled with grace, self-compassion, and a renewed sense of purpose. Through her writing and ministry, Danielle nurtures women as they reconnect with the heart of a helper, that tender space of empathy and love for others, without falling into exhaustion or obligation. Danielle's passion for helping helpers heal is rooted in both personal experience and professional training, which uniquely equips her to guide others through the delicate balance of helping while staying whole. When she's not filling the world with words, Danielle is out exploring it. Alongside her husband, Michael, she can be found bumping down roads less traveled, always seeking stories of resilience, grace, and the quiet strength of those who choose to love anyway. Any questions before we get going?
I think we have this. It's nice because I'm so used to just chatting with you.
I know. Alrighty, well, we're already recording, so I don't even have to push a red button or anything. So I'm just going to start by saying welcome to Grit and Grace, Danielle. We're so thrilled to have you.
It is so exciting to be here. I started listening to Grit and Grace years ago, and I have always been one of your biggest fans. And so here I am today.
Well, I'm so glad that Grit and Grace is back so you can be here today. Your ministry tagline is the heart of a helper. And that resonates deeply with me as someone who is a lifelong helper. What does that phrase mean to you, the heart of a helper?
I think that we were created to give to others. Mm-hmm. And I think that as women, we really take that role on and we personalize it. And mm-hmm. it just becomes a part of who we are, whether we're a mom, a daughter, a worker. We feel a lot of the responsibility of keeping life together. We want to be the glue, and we're usually the hub of a wheel. And people, number one, they've learned that they can rely on us. And number two, we've learned that we can rely on ourselves. And so that heart of a helper is a very tender spot that sometimes we may not even recognize, that as much as it's my best part of me, it's also the most vulnerable part of me. And so what I want to do is I want to encourage helpers to feel like they are enough, that they can love their people without losing themselves. Mm-hmm. Because we know, and maybe you guys can identify with this, but I can remember back in the day when I was younger, I was always at every sporting event for my kids. I was on the phone to my mom and usually my grandmother daily, and I was working with my husband in our family business. And that worked great for a long time until you get something that throws you off kilter and suddenly you need some personal space, but you've made all these obligations. And so what do you do? And I think a lot of women are feeling that kind of pressure these days.
Oh, I love that description. I wasn't sure where you were going to go with that. Our greatest strength or our greatest weakness. I love you talking about how it can be our greatest strength and our greatest source of vulnerability. Vulnerability. Why did you choose that word?
Because I think that the heart of a helper is very tender. And we have really learned how to protect ourselves. And sometimes that becomes almost an isolation, especially when a problem arises and we're like, okay, I need to help this person and this person and this person. And somehow we put our needs at the end of the list. And I've really had a lot of thoughts about why we do that, why that's our initial response. And I think that it comes from, it's easier to let me hurt myself than it is to watch someone I love hurt.
Okay, we're just going to pause for a moment and let that land, because that feels so true. And I think many of us have experienced where life is clicking along and we're doing all the things for all the people and then the thing happens, right? We're not going to try to list all the things that it could be, but something happens that throws us off our game or throws us off our rhythm. And suddenly we find ourselves in the place of needing help. What does that do to somebody who's used to being the one giving the help?
I think that part of being a helper is you've been in control. You've been the one who's saying, hey, I can make life better by doing this for you. And it's very hard and it's really humbling, actually, to say, okay, because we haven't related to anybody in that way before, maybe. And so now we're saying, I need some help. I'm the one who needs to heal, and I don't know how to do this on my own. And so sometimes I think that we feel like this sense of shame of, why can't I do all of this, take care of myself? And now the pastor from the church called me and he asked me if I could make a dozen cookies. And if I don't make them for the bake sale, everything's going to be a disaster. It's almost like juggling way too many plates. And that plate that we usually forego is the one that's ourselves.
So true. Okay. So you have a retreat called Worth the Risk. I want to know, what do you perceive has been happening to helpers? And what risk are you specifically referring to with this title, Worth the Risk?
One of the things that I noticed was a lot of women after COVID simply wanted to quit. They wanted to say, I'm retiring, or I'm not serving on these areas anymore. It's just way too much. And we were trying to find this way to re-engage. We do that a lot of times if we've been hurt physically or mentally or emotionally. we feel like withdrawing is a safe place for us.
Yeah.
And when we pull into that safe place, and all of a sudden life is going on everywhere around us. Mm-hmm. And we think, wait a minute, how do I come back? Mm-hmm. How do I come back and be the good parts of who I am and still have that time to heal? Mm-hmm. Because I think that we want to leave some things behind, but we've been maybe conditioned. If you are a good Christian woman, this is what you're going to look like. Mm. So sometimes we have to let go of that. We don't have a choice. And yes, we always put Jesus first. But accepting his grace, that's what makes us the good Christian woman. It's not earning it.
Mm.
And I think that that's where the risk comes in. Well, if I say no to this, Am I letting God down?
Mm.
Am I still that same Christian woman that I used to be? And I think that we're constantly reevaluating that, that it's not just serving our family or making cookies. We have that extra added piece that's a pressure because we want to be that good at Christian example. We want to be that loving, caring neighbor. Mm. And we've been taught how to do that, and maybe we've been taught at the expense of ourselves.
Mm.
Am I willing to risk what I've known and how I've related to my world in order to become a better helper?
It sounds like what you feel helpers need right now, especially, is permission to heal. What happens or becomes possible when a burnt out helper actually takes the time to heal? And before I let you answer, I'm going to go on a little bit of a rant here because there's a metaphor I don't want to hear come out of your mouth. And that is the whole, oh, don't you know you have to put your oxygen mask on first before you put the oxygen mask on anybody else? Like, I cannot tell you how many women's retreats or events I've been at where that example has been used. And I don't know about you, Danny, it falls flat for me because I don't live on an airplane. Like, I live in a home with humans with needs and there are no oxygen masks. And so that metaphor just doesn't work because that's about an unusual situation I will probably never, ever be in. So back to my question, what happens or becomes possible when a burnt out helper takes the time to heal?
Sometimes as helpers, even if we've given ourselves permission, we aren't sure how to heal.
Mm-hmm.
We aren't sure where we need to start.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times it's easy to look at your body mm-hmm. and say, oh, I am so exhausted and I just need to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And we sleep and we sleep and we nap and we rest. And pretty soon we are like, I'm all slept out. I am not even sleeping at night now because I'm sleeping so much and trying to catch up. And what I found works for me is I have this illustration of, you know, when you have this sweetness in a pot of honey
mm.
and you put it on the shelf and you're constantly pulling that honey off the shelf,
mm.
if you don't replenish it, pretty soon you don't have that sweetness left to give.
Mm.
And I think, how do we pour that back into ourselves?
Mm.
And I think that that helps us delineate, because sometimes I think when we say, I want to give myself self-care or mm. self-compassion, we think, and if this works for you, it's great. A day at the spa
mm-hmm.
or this or that. And then sometimes a helper will walk away and say, well, I'm feeling kind of selfish about that.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look at your honey jar and you say, if I want to relate to my family using the fruit of the spirit, what is going to replenish? How am I going to pour in a feeling of joy?
Mm.
What activity is going to do that for me? How can I do that so that I'm constantly in this position of pouring back into myself? And even more importantly, how do I let other people pour into me as well?
Okay, so I'm going to ask you two related questions. The first one is, I want to hear what some of the things are that help you replenish that sweetness, you personally, and I'll share a couple for me. And then I want to ask you, how easy is it for you to just let other people pour into you? But first, the sweet question, what are some of the things you do that are a form of that healing that keep that sweetness available?
So I think the first thing is I look for places where I can find some peace. And the way that I put peace back into myself is I've always been a runner and a walker. And so getting outside and just getting outside of myself and outside of my worries and having like this physical release, that really puts me at peace. And to fill back in with some joy, one of the questions I ask myself is, when was the last time you had a belly laugh? A friend or your family? And if I'm having a really hard time saying, oh boy, it's been a long time, I'm going to call that one friend who's my belly laughing friend, and we're going to just chat on the phone. These things don't have to be things that are way out of our realm of our everyday life. But if we kind of know what we're lacking and the resource where we can kind of fill ourselves up, we're always going to have that available to us. And I know you're a swimmer. So what are you filling back up when you're swimming?
You know, I'll tell you the thing that has really been so valuable for me is that it is a concentrated period of time where I can't try to do anything else. Like I am single tasking, and the breathing, that regular breathing really is very calming for me because, of course, there's just a very specific breathing pace, you know, while I'm doing the crawl stroke. And in the rest of my life, when I'm not in the swimming pool, I can get myself frantic, hurry, hurry, rush, rush, up and down the stairs, all that sort of thing. But I love that you brought up the belly laugh, because at the last time we had Gregory family game night, it was after Daniel's mom had passed. And so the kids and I were like, let's do game night. Dad needs to be with us, and let's try to figure out a way to make him laugh. And so Anne Marie had found on Instagram these stories of people saying awkward things and putting their foot in their mouth. We died. We just died because of that feeling like, oh, at least it wasn't me who did that. You know, we were crying. We were laughing so hard, and it was very healing. I don't know that I would have used that word for it. Did it solve everything? No, but we had like an hour together as a family, and that was a way of pouring back in. And boy, we all felt so much better afterwards.
And sometimes I think we're resistant to those experiences because we put ourselves in an ice cube tray. If I'm sad and I'm in a sad situation, I need to be sad, sad. And we don't want to break out of that little compartment. And the example I could use is when my mom had cancer and she was in hospice, my daughter called up and said, hey, I think we need to, because my daughter was getting ready to get married. And she said, I need to put my wedding dress on for grandma in this mirror that my mom said, I want to see you get dressed for your wedding in this mirror. And at first I called my mom and she said, no way. Absolutely. I will cry. I can't do that. And I said, okay, just think about it. And I threw the wedding dress in anyways. And I tell you what, my mom said, okay, we'll try it. It was the most beautiful moment because we all felt that joy. And my mom had her husband go to the closet and get out her wedding hat. And she popped on her wedding hat and she said, this is what I look like. And we snapped a picture. And do you know, that is my all-time favorite picture of my mom. So I think that God gives us those moments where we just need to be aware that we can bring joy into that time of hurting. It does start to heal. I love both of those examples. I think they're really powerful.
Well, and I feel like what you just shared, this lovely story about your mom and your daughter, that feels like an example of worth the risk, where she was holding back because she didn't want to engage in the pain, which would be so very natural. And yet by reaching out and engaging together, there was healing and memories made.
And I think those memories are irreplaceable.
Yeah.
I think those memories are something that we can put back in our little sweetness jar.
Oh, I love that. I love that. Okay, now for the harder question. How are you at receiving help as part of your healing?
I will tell you, I have been really horrible at it. I am probably one of the worst people for making checklists and trying to make everything work. And then this fall, right at the height of when My family, our business, everyone was depending on me. I took a really good fall hiking. I had serious fractures in my spine and my pelvis. And of course, I was not patient with myself. I was thinking, I need to get better, not for myself, but I need to get better so I can help everybody else, right? And so it is humbling to lie on your back on a floor, hoping you're going to get better and letting your husband cook dinner or letting a friend just call you and you're in so much pain, you cry and say, I need you for my safe space. Those things are really hard for us as helpers. But I also learned there is a difference in how you help once you learn to accept help.
That is so good. Now I know what we're going to talk about the next time you're on Grit and Grace, because I want to unpack that, because I'm 100% sure you're right with that. That when we have truly received help, it changes how we give it later. And I love that you use the word humbling. So good. All right. Well, our friends who are listening right now are helpers. I just know this about the Grit and Grace audience. How do you support the heart of a helper through your ministry?
So I have three different things available. First, you can always find me on Facebook. And let me tell you about my Facebook posts. They're very personal. And I try to make them very authentic. I don't hire someone to do my social media. The pictures you see are going to be Danielle Grossi, her family, wherever I am. And they usually have just a little bit. It's not a full blog, but it's just a little bit of information that maybe you can take away with you during the day. The thing that I'm really excited about is if you sign up for my email list, I have a new program called Just Ask Danny. And I started that because, okay, this is a little embarrassing, but when I was a kid, I loved Dear Abby and I loved Ann Landers.
Oh, I'm right there with you. I love reading advice columns. So you're talking my language.
And so this is just a gentle advice column for helpers where we can say, hey, you know what? There's another helper just like me. And she asked this question that I was way too afraid to ask, or I didn't have the resource to answer, and just a loving, caring response to a question that you have. And then the Worth Risk Retreat. That's a retreat in a box where you can do that for your women's ministry. If you want to have a whole weekend, that's provided. Or if you want to invite me as a speaker for a speaking event. So those are really three ways that I talk to the heart of a helper, encourage them. And mostly it's guiding. Mm. That's what I do during my regular job, is I take people touring castles and historic sites. And I love showing people places that they can avoid because it's not worth the time. Places that will resonate with them, and maybe little places that they haven't thought to see themselves. You know, little places where they could see something kind of special that they may not have known about without a guide. And so that's really what I'm trying to do with the heart of the helper.
Oh, I love that so much. And I love that idea of you being a guide who can show us places that we wouldn't discover on our own. That just is so appealing. All right. Well, as we're wrapping up here, what I would love to have you share is, what do you most want our friends who are listening? Again, they're all helpers at heart. What do you most want them to know about the heart of a helper?
You can love your people without losing yourself. I think that is so important, that we don't have to sacrifice who we are because we want to be the loving mom, the loving daughter, the loving wife. That we can be all of those things, the caring friend, the person who reaches out, but we don't have to do that by exhausting ourselves and coming from a place of emptiness. We can do that and still keep the sweetness that is instilled in us.
Well, I cannot wait to have Danielle back as a guest co-host so we can do a deep dive into this whole idea of the difference in how you help once you learn to accept help. That's going to be so good. For right now, you can connect with Danielle Grossi on her website, which is DanielleGrosse.com. Be sure to sign up to receive her email, which includes the Just Ask Dani advice for helpers. Last week, I asked her a question about feeling helpless as a helper, and her response shone a gentle light into a blind spot I didn't realize I even had. She also has this insightful quiz that you can take at her website, The Heart of a Helper, Uncover What You Need Right Now. And if you're looking for a speaker for your women's retreat, her Worth the Risk messages are powerful and practical. Thank you for listening to Grit and Grace, the podcast for highly sensitive Christian women. I hope this episode leaves you feeling encouraged and equipped to thrive and to tend to your heart as a helper. Be sure to follow in your favorite podcast app and share this episode with a friend. Now, if you're brand new to the whole HSP concept, come take the Am I a Highly Sensitive Person quiz. You'll find that link in the show notes. And remember, God created you sensitive. In Christ, you are always strong. So, Dani, I've had the honor of being your writing coach for over 2 years now. And so I want to ask, why did you decide to get a writing coach? And why are you still working with me, of all people?
I think that it's really easy to be in your head, your own space, and writing things out and thinking, I think this is what people need to hear. And yet, the more you get into writing, you learn that it's not about yourself. It's about the people that are coming to you that can relate to you and enjoy you and benefit from what you have to offer. And so I went to someone and I said, hey, I need a writing coach. And they were like, Sherry Gregory, she is the ultimate. That's who you need to listen to. And I tell you what, we started, I think, 3 years ago, and I couldn't give you up because you taught me the importance of real words from real people. And you've taught me I am a very detailed person just because of my job. And you're great at helping me take this big elevated view and take a big comprehensive look of what we're doing and what someone needs. I don't want to say in the beginning my writing was a little more self-centered, but as I've worked with you over the last 3 years, I've come to love my readers.
Okay. Couldn't have asked for a better answer. That is exactly what I love to do. Thank you. If you're a writer or someone who longs to be a writer, did you know that you can take a mini course from me absolutely free? It's called Overcome Procrastination and Just Write, 7 surprisingly simple strategies to get your words flowing. Just go to writebesideyou.com. That's writebesideyou.com to sign up. And I'll put that link in the show notes too.